coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey LeBounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Mark Lasseter.
Good morning, Coach. How's everybody this morning?
Well, we're doing good. I know Charlie's in the house with us and running the show and got Philip back there on the phones. And you can get in touch with us at 251-343-0106. Corey LeBounty is a little bit under the weather this morning, so we ask you to think about Corey this morning. We'll miss him and hope everything gets better for him as the day goes on. I'm sure as his Alabama Crimson Tide rolls today, he'll feel a whole lot better. Good morning to all of our friends and listeners down in Sylacauga on the Big YEA, WYEA 106.5, and also on the river covering beautiful 43,000 acres. Boy, the most beautiful water you've ever laid your eyes on, Lake Martin, where Mark and I kind of grew up on. And, well, let's just leave it at that because we certainly don't think we'll be before any Senate confirmation hearings in the near future.
No.
So no. We'll just leave that at that from our young growing up days and your young coaching days. So we'll leave it at that. I will tell you this, if my buddy Rick Morris and John Blackman and those folks in Sylacauga are listening, I certainly hope you guys don't have to go through any confirmation hearings. It's kind of our political statement here this morning, but it's the biggest charade I've ever seen. And the damage that the Senate committee has done to that man's family is just beyond belief. And that's about all we're going to say about it. Charlie, if you'll run the music, we'll go through some scores here and give you some rundowns. Smart's not going to be happy, but we'll give you some rundowns. On the local scores last night, Baker 17, Jackson 7. That's a big, big win for the guys over at Baker. Boy, I'm telling you right now, that's a huge, huge win. Cottage Hill 35, Bayside 3. We'll talk more about that a little later on. Mark said he saw one of the better high school football players that he's seen in quite a while last night over at Cottage Hill. Fairhope defeats Daphne last night 20-17 in overtime. Faith Academy 23, Robertsdale 12. Congratulations to our good friend Jack French. Flomaton 28, Escambia County 14. How did I get Biloxi in there?
I don't know.
Wow. Fultondale 55, John Carroll 26. I want to talk to you about John Carroll in a few minutes, Mark. G.W. Long and Elba were canceled last night, I'm sure due to rain. Moving on in local scores, not many of them. Most everybody was off last night. Mary Montgomery 27, Citronelle 19. Saraland 42, LaFleur 0. Satsuma 54, Pleasant Home 0. Sylacauga 13, Childersburg 8. Got both of those folks. You got an Aggie in here and a Tiger in here. Mark, we kicked y'all's fanny last night.
I'm telling you, sure did.
Boy alive. T.R. Miller 14, Hillcrest Evergreen 0. Wetumpka, good gracious alive. Wetumpka's mighty good. Mark said earlier in the show, he said, I'm going to tell you, Rick, Wetumpka's for real now. And plus, they got their quarterback hurt the first week of the season, and he's not even playing. So they're playing with a backup quarterback. Williamson, 33. BC Rain 7, and then Thursday night, Chickasaw 28, St. Michael's 21. That's a good win for Chickasaw. St. Michael's jumped up 21-0, Mark, and then Chickasaw came back 28-21. Up in Montgomery in the bowl, in the Crampton Bowl, Jeff Davis 26, Sidney Lanier 21. And then Thursday night, Corey LeBounty and the Mobile County Public School Television show, Viger defeated Murphy 21-7. That's pretty much what we got locally. If you want to score, give us send us a text message, 251-343-0106, and you can call us at that same number on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines at 251-343-0106. We've got every score in the state of Alabama. And we can go into Mississippi, we can go into North Florida, we can even go into South Georgia and give you Rush Probst and all of those guys' scores if you're interested in it. We will give you one last night over in Early County, Georgia. You folks down in Dothan be interested in this because Our old buddy Harry Wayne Parrish, after he retired from the public schools in Alabama, went over to Early County and became the head football coach and athletic director. Early County last night defeated Dothan 13-0, and I'm sure that was a snicker knocker over there. So those guys are mighty happy over in Early County, Georgia. They're mighty happy. I think about Bainbridge, I think about Kirby Smart, and that's where his daddy, Sonny, coached for years and years after he left Slapout and Hopeful High School.
My first job interview was at Bainbridge.
Was it?
Bainbridge High had a middle school job opening in 1982.
Yeah. Well,
that was a long time ago.
Mark.
Have you ever heard of this school? Evangel Alabaster.
No, but I can tell you what it is. It's a private school that opened up right outside between Alabaster and Alabaster and Calera. When Thompson got so big.
I got you.
When
okay.
Thompson got so big, they opened a private school called Evangel. And it's a church school, and they've joined the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
They beat somebody last night whose name was Success Unlimited.
Really?
Is the name of the school.
Success Unlimited.
Success Unlimited. And Success Unlimited got beat 60-40.
That sounds like a band.
It
you
does. Know, it sounds, you know, I've never heard of that, either one of those schools. But anyway, that's fun fact. You know how I am about different stuff. I kind of get a kick out of stuff.
Yeah, I know
Success
that.
Unlimited.
You know, you look at some of those scores around Sylacauga, too. You guys, B.B. Comer, 30, Talladega County Central, 24. Great win for B.B. Comer. I know they've won 2 weeks in a row now. That's a big, big win.
It is
there.
A big win for them.
So mighty
yes,
happy
sir.
For those guys.
I saw where did Munford play Talladega last night?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Hang Charlie, on. is your mic on? I think it is, Charlie. It's not? Okay. I saw a Talladega score somewhere, Mark, and I will tell you this. Central of Clay County got beat last night. Jasper beat them. You know, they changed Walker County High School. Walker County High School for years was Walker County High School.
Right.
And now they're the Jasper City School System. Jasper beat Central of Clay last night 10-7. But, you know, Central of Clay, Mark, as we talked about numerous times on here, they've put Ashland and Lineville together. And, you know, for years and years, Ashland and Lineville dominated that smaller classification. We all thought that when they put Ashland and Lineville together, they'd be a 4A powerhouse. Well, that hadn't come to fruition as of right now. So did you tell me – Flomaton's the one that you told me is undefeated.
Flomaton's undefeated. They beat Escambia County last night. Let me find that score. 28-14. Flomaton beat Escambia County last night. I think one of the biggest games I saw last night was T.R. Miller.
Yeah.
T.R. Miller went up to, I don't know if they went to Hillcrest, but they beat Hillcrest Evergreen 14-0.
Yeah, they did.
That is a shock to me. Yeah. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't expect to see that score, but congratulations to T.R. Miller for a big, big win up there at Hillcrest Evergreen.
And no doubt about it, because we've talked about Hillcrest Evergreen and their evolvement down into 4A. And talking to Terry at UMS the other day, one of the things that he mentioned, he said, we're going to see how good we are. I mean, you know, we've played pretty well up to this point, and we've had a lot of success, but we're going to see how good we are when we play Hillcrest Evergreen. Mike Dean's made a huge difference in that program.
He has. Mike's done a great job there. I was so thankful to get to talk to him last year at the end of the season, and just tell him what a great job he – because Hillcrest has always been an offensive powerhouse.
Right.
Always has been. But they never could stop anybody. No, they just couldn't.
Yeah.
And so then Mike gets there last year and starts really teaching them that – I think he's run that 4-3 scheme he knows so well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they start shutting people down and playing great defense, and that's what carried them last year to the state championship. That was just a great job all the way around by that football team.
Well, there's no question that he's one of the great innovators in high school football defensively, and he's – of course, his daddy was the same way. Joe Dean was a legend and ran that 40 defense, and just, you know, I think about he and Don Blanchard, and those guys did such a great job for so many years with on the defensive side of the football.
Absolutely.
And for years, Mark, for years and years, Fairhope was the only team on the Eastern Shore, really. I mean,
that's right.
You know, they had all the players
that's
from
right.
Daphne, from Spanish Fort, almost all the way up to all the way up to Bay Minette. So, you know, it's
a little different now.
It is a little different now. A little different now, but a great win last night.
Absolutely.
For the Fairhope Pirates as they defeat Daphne 20-17 in overtime. You got a question, you got a score, give us a text, 251-343-0106. Congratulations, Elba. You're showing your power now. You're just a program with 10th grade. By the time you get to be seniors, you guys are going to be a force to be reckoned with. We'll be back in just a few minutes talking about high school football around the state of Alabama and Mississippi.
The Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut.
Hi, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter, 40 years high school football coach, head football coach in several public schools in the state of Alabama, now the defensive coordinator over at Bayside Academy with our dear friend Phil Lazenby. And this other guy here, I don't even want to tell you how many years I did this. So somebody called and asked about the Demopolis score. Demopolis did not play last night, like lots and lots of schools in the state of Alabama had an off week last night. But Demopolis did not play last night. They their last game that they played was, let's see, they played last week, if I'm not mistaken. They beat Benjamin Russell 30-10, and their next game is they play Shelby County at Demopolis. So Demopolis did not play last night. They were idle, and so that there is no score there for you. We want to bounce around the state of Alabama now and give you some scores. And Mark, if there's anything that you want to add to this, we'll be glad to you jump in here. Andalusia defeated Op last night, 55-7. Auburn 44, Minor 7. Autauga Academy, all you folks listening up around the lake there in Alexander City, can maybe some of you Autauga Academy folks are listening. Autauga Academy defeated Graceville of Florida, 48-12. Over in Mississippi last night, Harrison Central defeats Biloxi 21-0. That's Jack French's son. Caitlin is the head coach there.
Right.
So, Mark, did you coach against Caitlin? Who coached against Caitlin?
Yeah, he was playing quarterback. For
Mark, if you don't get up there next to that mic, I'm going to suspend
you. I got to get my seat turned around.
Well, you
got to
get
around.
Your shoulder. We're turning around.
Are we all right?
Come on, there you go. Got to get you up there where these people
are. I need to get me a booster seat.
Well, yeah, you and Bergen, y'all got to have – you got to have more seats there.
Hartsell had a big win last night.
Yeah, that was a huge win. They beat Briarwood last night.
14-7 in overtime. And Corey Labonte just texted me and said he thinks that that's going to move Viger into the number one spot in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, well, Corey's doing that because he went statewide radio and nationwide radio and made the prediction that Viger's going to win the state championship. And you know, sometimes Corey goes out on a limb, and sometimes that limb breaks, and I hope it doesn't break this year.
I hope it doesn't, Corey. We're just, you know, talking to you there, buddy.
It's just something that he's gone out on a limb and said Viger's going to win the state championship, and he put the caedus on Eric Scott and those guys over there. But I'll tell you right now, they are pretty doggone good. Eric's got a doggone good football team.
Man, hey, Houston Academy won another game last night, 42-39, our good friend Jamie Riggs, head coach, has won another football game.
They beat Florida.
Yep.
Yeah, they sure did.
Sure did.
Around the state, now this is one that you better keep your eye on. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to start predicting people that's going to win a state championship, you might want to look at Jamie Dubose over in Phoenix City. Central of Phoenix City beats Park Crossing last night 50-16. So, you know, those guys are just every year they don't rebuild, they just reload. So they're good.
You know what's kind of cool about 7A this year? For the first time, we see a chink in the armor at Hoover.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that for a while. I mean, when Hewitt Trussell's got some great players up there. Well, there's no doubt. Yeah. They got, what, five stars and 2 4 stars?
Well, they got Paul Tyson that transferred from Mount Brook. They got something funny going on because there's a lot of people transferring in there.
But they got some players. They beat Hoover, and they beat them convincingly. Yeah. And now you got Phoenix City, Hoover. And who did I just say?
Well, you got Central Phoenix City, you got Hoover, You got McGill Tulin. They'll be in
and McGill Tulin. Hewitt Trussville.
Hewitt But those three.
Thompson.
Thompson. Well, you better not. Yeah, Thompson's going to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah, they are. Before it's all said and done, they are.
Yeah. And, you know, Hoover beat Thompson in the regular season. Now, you know, that happened last year. One won the regular season.
Thompson won the regular season game. Hoover came back
So,
pretty well thrashed.
So we'll see what happens with that. That's but you know you got to throw Hewitt in there too. And I'm gonna tell you, Mountain Brook ain't bad.
No, they're not.
They're not bad. So you just keep an eye on those guys.
Check on that score. I saw where they won last night. I'm pretty sure.
Let's go through a few more. A local score that I didn't give. Eufaula defeated Alma Bryant last night 29-7. Etowah 21, Fort Payne 0. Elmore County 14, Dadeville 7. Flomaton just keeps on. They're undefeated again right now. Flomaton 28, Escambia County 14. Mark Fultondale defeats John Carroll 55-26. Now, let me ask you this. And please know that I say this with all due respect, but you look at Fultondale, and they're playing John Carroll. John Carroll is the only Catholic school in Metro Birmingham, correct? To my knowledge, they are the only Catholic school in Metro Birmingham. They have much more to draw from than does McGill. Why is not John Carroll better? And they've been awful. I mean, just dreadfully awful for the last 10 years. I don't understand that.
I don't either. I don't know what's happened there. You know, at one time,
shoot,
that was the place to go, one of the places to go in Birmingham. And in the last, I mean, Coach, I can't remember anything coming out football-wise successfully out of John Carroll in 15, 20 years.
Isn't that where Pat Sullivan played? Did he play at John Carroll? Didn't he and Dickie Smaltz play at John Carroll years ago?
I don't know.
I think they did. I think they played Sylacauga. If I'm not if I'm not mistaken, John, that's where Pat Sullivan played.
Well, I know, you know what, 4 or 5 years ago they got in trouble.
They did.
Maybe it was less than that. They got in some trouble with the High School Athletic Association for recruiting. And I think there were some people got let go and people were – I mean, you know, that's always puts a dark cloud over the
program. Well, absolutely it does. But, I mean, you're talking about a huge community of Catholic students that you would think that moms and dads want their children to, you know, to get that Catholic education, and as many do here in Mobile. And I understand that. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing. But at the same time, in Birmingham, it doesn't work like that. So I don't know. I'm puzzled by it.
I'm a little puzzled at it, too.
Maybe somebody in our listening audience, and we get, you know, we're hurting Birmingham, so maybe somebody can jump on board, send us a text, let us know. 251-343-0106. What's going on at John Carroll? Why can't they get something going good, positive, as far as winning football games up there? So now, they've been doggone good in basketball. I will tell you that. Marty Smith was there for a long time, and they were winners. Boy, I'm telling you. Pat Sullivan, yes, John Carroll. We get a note here. Now, this will be something that you will my sister sending me things. You'll get all the way from South Carolina. You'll see this. Fairhope High School, best halftime show ever. Fairhope band, terrific. Fairhope, great overtime victory over Daphne, 20-17. Well, good for that. That's good. I know that warms your heart, Mark.
Now, I tell you, that Fairhope band's always been something. One of my favorite memories of coaching there was one night we went down and played B.C. Rain down at Tremere Park.
Tremere Park. Yeah.
Big ball game. Coach Schamberger was the head coach over there at B.C. Rain then. And we were in 5A at this time, and we beat them in a close, hard-fought ball game there at the park. And Mr. Sims, our band director, asked me to come over and lead the band in the fight song after the game. And I got to go over, and I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I just started moving my hands back and forth. And that band, I mean, Coach, they about knocked me down with the music coming out of their instruments. And it was just that was a neat experience for me as a coach to go down there with our band and just hear the beautiful music and the excitement out of those kids. They got as excited about that ball game as our football players did.
You know, isn't that something? He was my neighbor. Steve was my neighbor in Fairhope. Lived right across the street from me. Just an amazing guy. Wonderful, wonderful band director. But you know what? He was a heck of a tennis player.
Yes, he was.
Good tennis player, yeah. Now, I'm telling you. But, boy, didn't he do a great job with the band for years and years and years.
So, he did.
Boy, that brings back a lot of good memories for both of us. See if we can find another score there that might hit. Like you said, Hartsell defeated Briarwood last night 14-7 in overtime. Hewitt Trustful just keeps getting better and better. Paul Tyson, the kid that moved from Mountain Brook, five-star recruit, already committed to Alabama. Alabama's already got 2 5-stars committed to him, Taglova's brother, and now and Tyson. So,
a lot of players.
Who's going to be the next one? Up at Slapout last night, Hopewell defeated Dallas County 20-0. Homewood 24, Center Point 0. Houston Academy, like you said, 42, Florala 39. Hey, we'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network. Good morning, Sylacauga. Good morning, Montgomery. Good morning, Columbia, South Carolina. More coming right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Good morning. Good morning to all of those folks in Sylacauga and around Lake Martin. Good morning to San Diego, California. You know, you rascals are getting up early to listen to us out there on the West Coast, and it's always good to hear from you folks out there, and I'll tell you this. It takes a lot of discipline to get up. What, you're 2 hours behind us?
It's 6:30 right there.
6:30 in San Diego.
My wife just got back from San Diego about a week ago. She went up there.
She came home?
I told her, I said, once you get out there and get a taste of that weather, you won't ever come back home.
I'm telling you.
So she must really love me.
Well, I'm sure she does, and rightfully so, I can tell you that. You know, Mark, you have a great passion for Alexander City, and, of course, you
do.
You're one of the guys that made a difference in Terrell Owens' life, and last night in Benjamin Russell High School and the folks there. Retired T.O.'s jersey, and while we have been outspoken, to say the least, on what Terrell did as far as the Hall of Fame, we don't know both sides of that. And we're going to get him on here one day.
I've called his agent. I think it's her agent. I don't know what she is, but she kind of keeps track of Terrell, and she's going to help me get him. We're going to get him. What we want to do is get him on, but before we do, we want to let everybody know when he's going to be on, so everybody can tune in and listen.
Right.
So
that's
going to be before football season ends, and yeah, Coach, and I'll say this. You know me; I always stand up for him because I know the young man. I know the kid he was, and you know you are who you are,
right?
And I'll say this, I remember I had gotten divorced, and my daughter was 4 years old.
Right.
Haley was 4. And we had track. And I've told this story 100 times. We were at Briarwood running in a track meet, and it was early on a Saturday morning. We're going to be there all day long.
Right.
Haley was with me for the weekend, so she rode on the bus up there with us and had a big time. And we got there, and she was kind of hanging around me, and I was hanging on to her, and I was trying to help time and do stuff, and finally, Terrell walked over and he said, Coach, let me take care of Haley.
There you go.
And I said, what? And he said, just let me take care of her. And I said, well, here. I gave him $10. Said, if you need to buy her something to eat, whatever. And I said, I really appreciate this. He threw her up on top of his shoulders.
Yep.
And they took off.
Yeah.
And I mean, she had a ball.
Yeah.
And so when he comes home from his first year in the pros, he's got these pictures of himself, and he's got one to Haley.
Yeah.
Already made out.
Yeah.
Came to my classroom and laid it on my desk. He said, Coach, make sure Haley gets this and tell her I love her.
Well,
you know, that's the guy. I mean, you know, when it comes down to the end of the day, he's a showman, he's an entertainer, and he's got his issues.
Right.
Everybody, we all do. But at the end of the day, I know what he did when I was with him in his life, in my life, it was meaningful to me.
And that's all you can do.
That's right.
That's all you can go by.
That's
you
right.
can go by the way he treated you and your family, and that's and I've heard more of those stories from you and from Steve. I mean, Steve gave him his car
to go to the prom.
Now,
well, I'm
going to tell you this. The police called Steve.
Says, who's got your car?
Has your car been stolen?
Now, you know the whole story on that. Terrell had to, before he could get it, he had to wash it. Armor all it,
yeah.
Vacuum it, wax it, and I mean that thing was spit shine like you have never seen. It was a Bronco, if I'm not mistaken,
right?
What it was, and boy, it looked good, and that you know, and it was really quite an experience.
And the police called and said, "Coach Savory says your vehicle been stolen." Now.
And I'll tell you what now, and there's other stories that Coach Sav did for that young man that people don't even know about.
Right, countless
Christmas,
stories.
you guys won't believe.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, those of us that know Steve Savarese know the heart that he's got and the passion he has for his players, his children, his coaches as well. So, yeah, but we'll look forward to having Terrell Owens on here. But anyway, last night at Benjamin Russell High School, I guess in their homecoming game, Terrell shows up. He's got his Hall of Fame coat on. And they retire his number.
Retired his number, number 80.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Had it on the field. You can. I think you can see it on the Alexander City Recreation Facebook page.
There's
a picture of it. And a very neat thing. There's only been two retired, I think. Jimmy Red Phillips' jersey was retired.
Right.
And Terrell Owens' jersey was retired.
Boy, now, if you have never been to the Sportsplex,
you've missed a treat.
Yeah, you really. You know, we were playing them one year, and we were at Prattville, and the headsets went out on our sideline, and I don't know if they went out because they were mistreated, but they went out, and I'm trying to think in 1984. Who was the head coach
We didn't have the Sportplex then.
Well, okay.
It was over at Hamp Lines Stadium.
No, it wasn't at Hamp Lines. This was the first year.
88 is when we had the stadium.
Okay. So the first year, who was the head coach there then? Was it Steve?
Steve, yeah.
Okay. He said, tough. We don't use our headsets. And the ref went over there and told, no, coach, you're not. You're not.
I know I had to take mine off.
Did you?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I actually unplugged y'all's.
You are so bad. Well, we weren't very good, I can tell you then.
Oh, that was a heck of a – I think it was a playoff game. That was quite a ball game.
But that was – yeah.
You know who beat Alex City in the first game in that stadium?
Stanhope Elmore? Who? Sylacauga. There you go. Sylacauga.
Bernard Kelly, great player.
Yeah, could fly.
Could fly.
Yeah.
Dropped a – pitch in the end zone on a toss sweep, and Sylacauga recovered it for a touchdown.
I'm trying to remember who might have – Blackman won the head coach.
That was
Don Flippo.
Don Flippo.
Don Flippo was head coach.
That was 1988
yeah.
was
yeah.
that year.
Sure was. Okay. All right. Yeah, so you probably did have something to do with our doggone headsets coming undone.
Let me tell you about those headsets. One night we're playing Vestavia in the semifinals trying to get to the state championship game, and the box behind me and Richie Brooks is sitting there in the press box, caught on fire, and the headsets went out. No, it was Prattville. It was a Prattville game.
Okay.
In the second round, and the headsets, I turned around, it was smoking. Headsets go out, and Lazmi's down on the sideline. He turns around and looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and he says, yeah, because I'm calling the plays. And he's going, what do you want to call? I said, this is not working. He says, he wiggles his fingers. In other words, sign language. And so we signed in about three plays in a row right there until I could get on the sideline.
Lord have mercy.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but that is, if you have not been to the
beautiful,
sports place, beautiful, beautiful place.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful place. Now, did Russell play a major role in building that?
Yes, Russell did, and they laid out a large donation for
it.
The city of Alexander City raised the tax to help pay for it. I think it was a 1 or 2 cent tax helped pay for it built a just tremendous – it's one of the nicest high school stadiums that you're ever going
to
see.
And you went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Because Hamp Lines Stadium had gotten – it's an old stadium. But I tell you what, I love that old stadium. You know why I loved Hamp Lines Stadium? Because right down about the third quarter, every Friday night you could count on it, big train whistles going to come right down the track, and it was like 100 feet outside the stadium.
Yeah.
That old guy honked that, pull that. Yeah. It was that made you feel like old-time high school football.
Yeah. That's like, well, and that there's two places. More. Childersburg was the same way.
Yeah.
It did, that train ran right by the stadium. Yeah, but I don't know if it did at night, but it went right by there because we used to hide under that viaduct right there in –
Yeah.
Yeah. We sure
now, you
did.
Know what? You know the old story about W.C. Majors, don't you?
No.
W.C. Majors had always, this is what I was, David Stapleton told me this.
Well, it's probably true. Stapleton.
He says, W.C. would come in here and say, now, boys, I'm just going to tell you. We're going up here to Bay Minette this week, and they got a train track running right through that city. You know them boys are tough. If you got a train track running through your city, you tough. That's all it is. You just tough. And he would tell that story, and I don't know why, but that's the thing he would say. If you got a train track, it runs through your city. Them boys going to be tough.
Well, and, you know, back in those days, Fairhope and when W.C. Majors was the head coach at Fairhope, a legendary coach
there.
Just a tremendous job he did there. And, of course, he is the father-in-law to Vince Booth, who played for him there and then went on and played at the University of Alabama. A bunch of those Fairhope boys went on and played at the University of Alabama for Coach Bryant. That played for W.C. Majors and Joe Dean and that whole bunch.
They just had a reunion not long ago. I saw Vince. They had something on about the team that won a national championship. All of them came back. And then, then a bunch of A-Club members had a picture taken. And, you know, one of the funniest stories, Vince and I were going to a football game when I was at Fairhope. We had just played on Friday night. Somebody, and we got in the truck that morning to head up there. And Vince's beautiful wife looks at me and she says, you know, when you're on the goal line, why do you throw the football?
Well, you know who she is.
Yes.
She's W.C. Major's daughter.
I know, and I'm sitting there. And I just turned around and looked at her. She was just as serious as she could be.
Yeah.
And I said, because I thought it would work.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the only thing I knew to say. But what a wonderful lady. And Vince and his a beautiful couple, just lovely people. Yeah. And love Fairhope and love Alabama. They're good people.
They sure do. And, boy, she's I had a couple of conversations with her. She knows football.
She does.
Football
well.
I'm telling you, she was a
Begum right. She does.
And
grew up in it.
She sure did. Loves the game and loves Fairhope. You're exactly right. Those Faust boys, all the Faust boys from over at over there as well. And they had them. And heck, I'm trying to think of who else they had. Let's see. Who else from Fairhope? The Chatwoods, all the Chatwood boys. Now, I don't know if the Chatwoods.
Rockwells,
yeah. Randy and all. Yeah, they sure did.
Randy and Bragg, they both played there at Alabama. And and more guys. That whole family is another family that just loves Fairhope and love what they do there.
Boy, and their dad was Dr. Rockwell was the rock for that community for so long as a team doctor and all that over there. You're talking about that's a great history in Fairhope. It really is. That somebody could write a book about Fairhope High School football, and it'd be a great, great story to tell. Lots of schools last night, Mark, took a break. We had an open week last week. I know that a lot of people like this fifth week as the open week, and so everybody will be back into their region schedules starting next week. But we'll certainly keep up with that. I know you guys had a tough one last night. We want to talk about the young man that had such a good game for Cottage Hill last night. Jimmy Messer and those guys have done such a great job over there. And do want to mention this kid, too. Sam Rayburn kicks a winning field goal for Fairhope against Dafty. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
At Alpha Insurance, we know you have choices when it comes to protecting your car's home and family. That's why we go the extra mile to save you money and provide extraordinary service. At Alpha, being the best means caring for our customers and making sure you're protected. Call Alpha today. In Mobile, call Alpha agent Earl McKinnell at 343-7100 or stop by our office at 3725 Airport Boulevard in Mobile.
The sub above difference is the slicer. After all, if a sub isn't made with meat and cheese sliced to order, you should be a little suspicious. Sliced thin, sliced now. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Do you need a part for your car or truck? Auto World has over 13 acres of foreign and domestic vehicles with a wide variety of new and used parts. With over 40,000 parts on site and a nationwide database, we can get any part you need. All parts are inspected, cleaned, and backed by a 90-day warranty. Call or come by right now. Auto World. World-class parts, world-class service. 1-800-333-3909.
Discover Mitchell Residential in West Mobile, Spanish Fort, and now in Locksley, Alabama. Our trademark is quality with personal contact every step of the way. Mitchell Residential is committed to communities with homes that exceed today's expectations. Featuring exclusive floor plans, energy-efficient brick construction, hardwood floors, granite, plus much, much more. Models are open daily. Call Mitchell Residential 251-345-1200 today to begin building your dream home and experience the difference in working with a local, reputable, proven builder. Old Time Feed is a feed store but has so much more. A huge selection of indoor and outdoor plants, furniture, supplies, even backyard chickens and feed by the pound. These days, Old Time Feed caters to contractors too. But even with all of our products and services, you'll still find the same smiling faces ready to welcome you with a cup of coffee and friendly conversation. So whether you need seed for new little ducklings or an orchid for mom, stop into the Feel Good store and we'll take great care of you with great winter advice at Old Time Feed, 19580 Greeno Road in Fairhope.
If you get into a fender bender, take comfort in knowing that Cockrell's Paint and Body Shop has been fixing the Gulf Coast area for over 60 years. Highly trained personnel, state-of-the-art equipment, and an experienced staff in Baldwin County and also in Pensacola. So you know you're getting the best from the wreck to the finished product. Call Cockrell's Paint and Body Shop.
Yeah, Cockrell's Body Shop. We love your automobile.
There's one near you.
Life. Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to PSR. And, well, you know, Mark, you mess up sometimes in here. We've got a guy that has really made a huge difference in what we do at UMS Wright as far as security goes and all that. And he's got an amazing story to share. I'd ask him to be on our Camp Gray segment this morning, and I told him 8:45 instead of 9:45. But we're going to get Garrett Humphreys on at 9:45. And do the Kemp Gray segment with him, which Martin usually does and does a great job with. But boy, you want to hear that? You want to hear his story about he and his wife have been through. They've adopted, and it's just an amazing story of God's grace that has worked in their family. And we're excited to get Garrett on here at 9:45 this morning. Mark, there's a young man at Fairhope High School who's their place kicker. And there's two people I know that you wanted to talk about this morning. And the young man from Cottage Hill, I know we want to spend some time talking about him because you guys saw what you think was a really good football player last night. But this young man, Garrett
Rayburn,
yeah. Why do I want to call him Sam Rayburn? He was the Speaker of the House for many years. But that young man must be he is Sam Rayburn. You remember Sam Rayburn? You remember the
no,
Sam Rayburn?
No, I don't.
He was a Speaker of the House in the House of Representatives for many, many years when we were younger, much younger. But anyway, this young guy is Sam Rayburn Jr. He's a place kicker at Fairhope. He kicked a winning field goal last night against Daphne, which is a pressure-packed game,
absolutely,
as you and I both well know. But he's a junior this year. Is that right?
That's
junior.
Correct.
And from what I understand, he's going to go to IMG next year.
That's what I understand.
I'd heard
that too, and I think that's where he's going. He has range from 60 yards in.
Great days.
Coach Carter was telling me earlier in the year, said, you know, if we get to the – let's see, was it to the 35, 40-yard line, we're in
right
range to kick a field goal. So
wow.
That's pretty special.
Man,
somebody can
wow
kick one that far. So.
You know, I see one of the guys that played for us at Fairhope was Lee Hooks. And, boy, his son has really, really, really come on to his own now. And I'm excited for Grayson Hooks, who's number 42 for Fairhope. And I look forward to getting out and seeing him play the first time we have an open week. So just a good, good family, and look forward to seeing him play. But tell us about this young man from Cottage Hill.
I'm actually going to talk to about two of them. There's two kids out at Cottage Hill Christian. If you guys haven't seen these two kids play, Corey Alexander, the quarterback, and Samari Rudolph, they call him Flip, is his nickname, is a wide receiver, running back. He can do just about anything. Last night's ball game, these two kids hooked up several times. In the first half, they hooked up for touchdowns of 15 yards, 63 yards, 81 yards, and 59 yards as Cottage Hill jumped out to a 28-3 lead in the first half. Samari Rudolph had six catches for 269 yards and five TDs. Corey Alexander was 11 of 18 for 299 yards on the night.
Wow.
And I'm just telling you, those two are like, I can't tell you. Corey would throw it, and he would catch it. And it was like on the money, deep routes.
Right.
And then not only that, they can both – they're not just – he's not just a receiver. We threw the ball on a little quick play on the flat. We had him hemmed up. He makes a little shake, made a guy miss. Next thing you know, 89 yards later, he's standing in the end zone.
Wow.
So it was those two kids. Coach Brazil did a great job with those guys and getting them ready. And he does a great job on getting him the football,
yeah,
you know, and ways to get it to him. And he said he's the most underrated football player in Mobile. Not anymore.
He's not underrated anymore.
Not
that's
anymore.
For sure.
I can tell you that much. He had it coming out. He's been playing well all year long.
Right.
But last night he had a lot of media coverage there. There was a lot of people there, and a lot of folks got to see this kid play. And he is a good, good football player.
Well, you know, when you look at that, and I can't see because we're not getting the phone line. We're not getting anything up on the phone line. So I don't know who it is. So
David.
Okay, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Guys, I got to collect some hot dogs, I think. Dewdrop dog?
Yeah. You owe me a Dewdrop hot dog.
I believe I had a winner.
Well, I thought the other way. I thought I had the winner, but maybe you did get a Dewdrop. You didn't come by Friday and get it. Friday's the day to get your Dewdrops, and
Charlie had me on the move Friday.
Yeah, well, you lost your chance to get a Dewdrop. You'll have to win another one to get the Dewdrop. So when you miss your Friday, you miss like the kids at school. If they don't come get their Dewdrop on the Friday that they're picked up, then they go to somebody else. So yeah, you're right. You did have one because your name was on the sheet. So.
That's right. So I'll catch up with you. Don't you worry.
What you guys got going on out at Premier today?
I'll tell you what. The last couple of weeks, we have inventory has been coming in and going out. So it's been hard to keep it on stock, but I've still got a couple nice pieces available. Got a beautiful 2010 black Jeep Wrangler. Got all the toys, and it's a good-looking truck if anybody's in the market. Other than that, I've got a couple cash cars, and I'm waiting on a shipment. Hopefully, we'll be here Sunday night, and I'll have us restocked and ready to go.
Now, tell folks how they can get in touch with you guys out at Premier.
Well, we are in Clayton. We are right on the Moffitt Spring Hill split, or you can get us at PremierMotorsportsMobile.com or call us 251-338-9019. That simple.
All right. Tell us one college football game that you're really looking forward to watching today.
Well, considering I'm on my way up to the loveliest village on the plains to visit my daughter.
Yep, Southern Miss. Weekend, yep, Southern Miss.
We'll go with Auburn. We'll have to watch the Auburn game.
Well, if we can't find a running game, we may, you know, you and Southern Miss ain't bad. If we don't run the ball better, we may have a long afternoon.
Auburn's going to wear them out.
Okay.
It's going to be hot. I know that much.
Well, it's overcast and cloudy and muggy here in Mobile in the studios. So
I'll give y'all one more winner for a hot dog.
Okay. Let's do it.
Sticking with the trend, play the over in any game South Alabama drives by or plays in.
Golly, get out of here! Oh,
Lord have mercy! I can't wait to see Steve Campbell and tell him that you're saying they got a prolific offense. All right, pal.
The four of us.
All right, brother. Take care. Good
brother.
To see you. Take care. Bye bye.
Yeah, and Jimmy Red Phillips is from Alexander City. I double checked on
Red him. Phillips is from Alexander City. Yeah. Why in Red Phillips jersey retired?
I don't know. There was a big sign placed out there on Highway 280.
Right.
For him, I think that's right. It's been a while since I've been there. So
maybe they retired it at Auburn.
Maybe they did. I mean, he's All-American.
Yeah, he was a great player, though.
And let's see, three-time Pro Bowler from 1960 to 1962.
Right.
I mean, he's a tremendous football player.
Did he play for the Cardinals? Who did he play
played
for?
Played for the Rams.
Rams.
Played
That's
for the
right.
Rams.
Played for Los Angeles Rams. Yep. There you go. Sure did. I'd forgotten Jimmy Red Phillips was from Alexander City. Tell you what, let's do. Let's run around the state of Alabama again and give you a couple more scores that we hadn't given you. Lynette 32, Hanley of Roanoke 20, Lincoln 28, Montford 27, Lochipoca 14, Horseshoe Bend for you folks up in Alexander City. Macon East 35, Lowndes Academy in private school. Monroe Academy 34, Patrician 7. Mortimer Jordan, who beat Sylacauga last week, beat Hayden last night 41-0. And in the Wiregrass, a big, big win for the Northview Cougars as they defeat Enterprise 35-14. We'll be back with more on PSR.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
You know, we appreciate so much our good friends at Alpha, and that goes back many, many, many years. But our friends Lee Camilleri, Beth Burra, and Earl McKinnell, boy, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you folks, you men and ladies, and how much you do for high school sports around the Metro Mobile Baldwin County area. And throughout the state of Alabama, Alpha is a leader in the promotion of high school academics and athletics. And, you know, I hope you'll go by and visit one of your local Alpha agents. If you're in the Mobile area, you'll visit with either Lee Camilleri or Beth Burra or Earl McKinnell. And I promise you, they will do everything in their power to give you the very best insurance that you can possibly get for the best price that they can do. I can promise you, just good folks at Alpha, and we certainly appreciate everything that they do for us here at PSR. I would be remiss if I didn't mention my good buddy Pat Galley, the Hall of Famer in every Hall of Fame he can be in. As a matter of fact, he is. He's our track and cross-country coach at UMS Ride. And this past week, two of his runners, Brenda Ellis and Matthew Taylor, were named the Mobile Optimist Club Cross-Country Runners of the Week. So congratulations to Brenda Ellis and Matthew Taylor. And it's always, always good to see Pat Galley. And I don't get to see him as much as I used to see him. Of course, I kind of stay over in the middle school building, and Pat's teaching over in the high school building, and so I don't see him as much. So we don't need that right now. I'm trying to see. We had somebody on something about Satsuma and Saraland, and let's see if we can get those scores for you. I know that
Satsuma won last night.
They won big.
And Saraland did too.
Saraland beat LaFleur 42-0, and Satsuma beat Pleasant Home 54-0. So
is Satsuma undefeated?
Didn't they play UMS? Didn't they play UMS?
I don't know. I'm gonna find out.
That's a good question. I'm not sure about that, and I'm not sure. I can't see this complete thing up here. That may be what they were asking. If that's what they're asking.
Okay, I'm gonna find out for you.
Okay, but I know this. They're both. I know Saraland's undefeated, right? I know Jeff and Brent, Brett Boutwell, and those guys, I think they're undefeated.
All right, Satsuma right now is 4-2.
Okay.
4-2. They have lost to Jackson and Viger. They've beaten Gulf Shores, W.S. Neal, Wilcox Central, and Pleasant Home. So they're 4-2 right now.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find Saraland real quick, Coach.
I know they hadn't been beat because I saw something earlier in the week where they were 4-0. Yeah, they're 5-0, right?
Well, they're 6-0, actually. Yeah,
okay.
They're undefeated. They got Gulf Shores coming up next. I don't know if that's next week or I think that's next week.
The 5th.
The 5th. They got Gulf Shores and St. Paul's.
Well, that'll be a good one. That'll be a good one because, you know, St. Paul's is now – they were open this week. They didn't play. Steve Mast had a week off. Matter of fact, I think Steve said he went up to –
He did.
He went to Muscle Shoals, didn't he? Didn't he go up in the Shoals area to see his son, who's the head coach at up there? So
they come back. St. Paul's comes back, I think, with Sarah Land. Is that right, who they come back with? No, they come at Spanish Fort.
Spanish Fort. So they got back-to-back. They got Spanish Fort and Sarah Land back-to-back. That'll be two tough weeks for those guys, and that'll give – I know their quarterback, Jay Green's been a little nicked up. That'll give him time to get well. And we got a note from Corey LeMounty as well. We were talking about Sam Rayburn and that he's a junior at Fairhope High School, but I think he just this is his last year that he can play age-wise
in Alabama,
so he's going to transfer from what we understand. And we're not getting this from Tim Carter now. No. We got this from people that
parts are, unknown.
So but Sam will continue his prep career at IMG, and then I'm sure if he's as good as you say he is, and other people have told us that he'll kick it to next level.
Yeah, well, Brooks was telling me the other about guys 3 or 4 weeks ago. He said, "Dad, what I understand is once we get to the 40-yard line, we're getting ready to kick a field goal if we need to. That's a long way
for a high school player. I'm going to tell you that right now. But that's
but they have that much faith in him, and so last night he kicked a big one. That's a big overtime against Daphne. That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
I don't care how far it is.
You know, Mark, we have a lot of guys and women who volunteer coach for sports teams for children ages 14 and under. I mean, we have a plethora of volunteer coaches that volunteer to coach young people from the age middle school and below. And Alabama will soon be required any volunteer coach that coaches sports teams for children's under the age of 14 and under, will soon be required to complete a course to prevent and respond to injuries. Now, I wanted to get your take on this. The Alabama State Board of Health adopted the training rules that will take effect on November the 4th. They passed a bill called the Coach Safety Act, mandating the youth injury mitigation training. The bill made the Alabama Department of Public Health responsible for developing these rules. You know, now let me say this. I think this is great. I think what they're doing is great. But here we see the legislature now, they're getting involved with sports more so than they ever have. And it all started with this, with the private school, public school stuff. And now we're beginning to see some what we call piggybacking. Now they're getting involved with this, and they're not asking the Alabama High School Athletic Association to be involved in this. They're asking the Alabama Department of Public Health to monitor this. I don't know how people feel about that, but whatever it is, it's good that they're doing this, because now we're going to have these volunteer coaches, whether you coach football, baseball, soccer, basketball, whatever, lacrosse, Corey mentioned something the other day about rugby. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if those sports are coming in. I know lacrosse is coming in. I can't see rugby coming in as a sport in the state of Alabama.
Nah, I don't see that either. I do think this is a very good idea.
I do too.
You know, and I think one reason they don't really are not going through the High School Athletic Association is because it's going to deal with a lot of sports that are completely outside the realm.
And it does, and it deals with, and remember, the Alabama High School Athletic Association does not deal with anything below the seventh grade.
Correct.
So
no youth development leagues or anything like that.
So I think that's why I think it's a great thing.
I agree.
I think it's a great thing for the Department of Public Health to be responsible for developing these rules.
You can't have enough people trained in CPR,
no.
Injury prevention,
right.
Injury rehab. If
right.
a kid, you know, you got to know what to do if a child falls down on the
Absolutely.
Field and you don't know what's wrong.
Right.
You got to know. First of all, you don't turn them over.
Oh.
You know, and we've all done it. We won't turn them over and get a look at their face and find out what's going on. And you don't, you know, there's certain things, certain protocol that you need to follow to make sure you take care of the injured individual, that you don't do anything inadvertently.
Yeah.
To hurt him more than's already been done.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a lot of things to do there, and I think this is a fantastic program to help all of our youth coaches be trained in it so they can better take care of the kids that they're coaching, no matter what sport it is.
You know, a person I'm familiar with because I was in the Wiregrass for a while, Dr. Beverly Jordan, who is a family and sports medicine physician in Enterprise, and she's also a member of the state board, said the training is important, but she's concerned about the level of participation if there's no enforcement. So somebody's got to enforce this. She went on to say, we in the sports community over the past 15 to 20 years have seen an astronomical increase in the number of both overuse injuries and concussion-related injuries in junior high, the 12 to 14-year-old athlete that typically we used to see in professional athletes, because of inappropriate use of athletes starting at the age of five. Now, this is something that our good buddy Dr. Andrews has been preaching now for years and years and years, and finally – The legislators and the state health boards are recognizing the same thing that Dr. Jim Andrews has been preaching for years and years and years.
I agree with you. There's all kind of different things you need to look at. This thing about Tommy John's injury and baseball players, those kids are throwing the ball way too much and doing too many things with it. So I think that's a good idea.
Well, so, and Scott Harris of the Department of Public Health said that his office will investigate the feasibility of developing a database or some other way to track participation. So that's good. So
we're gonna
start looking after those young kids in a very professional manner. We're excited about that here on PSR. Hey, we'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network.
On the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to PSR. And, you know, we hadn't had the chance to talk about Fred Riley. And we get asked a lot about the situation, what's going on at Davidson. And so news broke this week that Fred Riley had retired from the public school system in the state of Alabama, and he has taken a job with a semi-pro football team. It is a team that will deal with students that have just graduated from high school, that have been out of high school for a couple of years, what age? About 22. Have you read this, Mark?
I have not. Is that a Mobile team?
Well, it is a Mobile team, and they're going to play in a different league. Fred has he stepped away. He was on paid leave by the Mobile County School Board, and he is retired now from the Mobile County Public School System in the state of Alabama. He's in the retirement system now, and he has taken a job as a coach and general manager of a semi-professional football team. And as a matter of fact, his beautiful wife Susan, wonderful lady, who's really been right by Fred's side all the years that he's coached. Of course, you know, Fred was an outstanding quarterback at North Alabama, and really was one of the finalists for the Harlan Hill Award, which is the Heisman Trophy.
Division Two.
Division Two thing. And Fred's 58 years old. He's the winningest football coach in Davidson history. As a matter of fact, he's fourth winningest coach in the Mobile County Public Schools history. So his resume speaks for itself. And he's going to take a position as the head coach and general manager of the Eastern Shore Vikings of the American South Football Alliance. And they're not going to start playing until 2020. He won 110 games in 14 years. Great career as Davidson's head coach. And he says he's recharged for the job. So we're excited.
We are excited. I'm glad for Fred. I mean, if this is what he wanted to do, then more power to him. You know, things happen for a reason.
Yep.
And maybe this is a reason he's got some more kids to lives to touch in a different venue.
Right. So, and he spent 10 years coaching on the college level, so it's not something that'll be a little different. I tell you what, let's do. We want to go, and Dreamland has been one of our sponsors now for about the last 5 years, and the general manager out there, and guy who makes everything happen at Dreamland is Margo. And Margo is a buddy of ours, and I see him probably way too much now because I spend way too much time in Dreamland partaking of the ribs and all the.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty doggone good, I'm going to tell you that. Margo, how you doing, pal?
Doing fine. How you doing, Coach?
Hey, we're too blessed to be stressed. Absolutely. Mark Laster and myself here this morning, and Corey Laster is kind of feeling under the Corey LeBounty's.
I'll take it. He's my brother from another mother.
He's under the weather. But we want to try to start getting you on here, you know, at least a couple of weeks a month, and just talk about Dreamland, things you got going on out there. It's just it's a great place. I know every day at lunch, the judge is out there. My good buddy Judge Shirley's out there, and just so many people coming into Dreamland, and really, Margo, the food is great, but the fellowship's even better, pal.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
If you're ever in there. Now, one of our buddies you all know that Lee Shervanian's a buddy of mine, and we did radio for many years together. I think Margo does some football predictions on Lee's show.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So, Margo, are we going to get some of your predictions this weekend?
Sure.
All right. Well, you kind of tell us three games that we want you to tell us about, okay? And the first one's going to be tonight. And it's Ohio State and Penn State.
Ohio State and Penn State. I think Ohio State is going to pull it off.
Ohio State.
Okay. I'm circling that one on my sheet.
We're going to circle that one on the sheet. Another one today that a lot of people in the Southeastern Conference are interested in is Florida at Mississippi State. So Dan Mullen is going to return to Starkville, Florida at Mississippi State.
I think the cowbell's going to be ringing and Mississippi State's going to pull it off.
Mississippi State. So we got that one down. He's got Mississippi State. And the final one, which I think is probably only because – well, it's probably only because I'm kind of sensitive about this subject. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't South Carolina go to Lexington, Kentucky this weekend and – who you like at South Carolina and Kentucky?
I'm going to take Kentucky.
Uh-oh.
I'd take them, too. They are hot.
They are hot. So he's taking Margo's taking
Kentucky.
He's taking Mississippi State, and he's taking Ohio State.
That's right. I got all three of them circled. Okay. I'm with you, Margo. Okay.
Don't you tell Vern that, because you know what Vern will do with that. Don't tell Vern. Yeah. Hey, tell us what's going on at Dreamland this weekend.
This weekend, as usual, we got the tailgate package. It's $82.95. Get three slabs of ribs, two quarts of sides, a loaf of bread, and a quart of sauce, all in a styrofoam cooler.
Golly bum.
Gosh, Amani, I wouldn't be able to walk for 3 days.
I'm telling you.
I'd eat every one of them ribs.
I stopped by there yesterday and messed up another shirt.
I got to wear a bib.
Well, you got bibs, too. Tell them, Margo. You got bibs. We can all put bibs on.
Oh, yeah, we got the bibs. I usually just wear I go ahead and wear an apron.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's good stuff. Now, and also, you know, we'll cater. Dreamland will cater anything you got going on. We'll even go to a hunting camp, won't we, Margo?
Yes, sir. We have in the past. We went to a hunting camp, and they ordered steak, to be exact.
Right.
We made it happen.
Good.
And also, we start chili on Monday.
Chili starts Monday. Wow. Well, Margo, the only thing, Vern gets back there and puts a little extra hot sauce in mine. You don't let him do that anymore, okay? Because that's some fine chili. That's some fine, fine chili, I'm telling you right now. Well, Margo, thank you for taking some time, and we want to make this a regular deal here so we know how to get in touch with you. And boy, tell them where Dreamland's located and how they can get there and the hours that you're open.
We're open from 10 to 10, located on O'Shea Road. Get off the interstate at exit 5A, turn back on the service road, and it'll bring you right to it. 3314 O'Shea Road.
Our buddy James Dennis hangs out there sometimes, too, and he loves that sausage. As a matter of fact, Margo, next time you see James Dennis in there, tell him Coach said he owes – James Dennis owes me about 20 pounds of sausage. All right, pal. It ain't a dream. It's the real thing. I can promise you that. Dreamland, that's the place you want to go for you. I'm telling you, the finest ribs in the Southeast. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, Margo. Take care, pal.
All right. Thank
all
you,
right. Joe. All right, pal. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to tell you, that's too close to UMS. That's just too doggone close.
It is just too doggone close.
Mm. Tell you what, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to Jack. Jack, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Rick, good to hear from you. I didn't catch you last week, but I enjoy listening to you every morning.
Well, I appreciate that, pal.
I got some trivia for you.
All right.
Who's the first two guys that signed baseball scholarships for South Alabama?
You got it.
Now, you mentioned one of them today, and I ain't going to say who he is. Let's see if you can guess. You can guess it, I'll buy you dinner.
Lord have mercy. You got to be kidding me. Now, help me a little bit here, okay? Help me a little bit.
1965.
All right.
Actually, during the summer, there was six of us.
All right.
But me and this two of them that signed was the first two.
All right. Can you tell me what – are they from Mobile?
Yeah, both of them. Both of them are tremendous athletes.
Well, Terry Curtis can't be one. I mean, Terry signed with Auburn. He went to Auburn.
I coached Terry and Babe Ruth in 1966. Terry's
Lord.
4 years younger than I am.
All right. I know I mentioned one of them today. And, golly, bum, I'm trying to think who it was. You got me. Wait a minute.
Pat Galley was the first.
And I was the other. And Jack was the second one?
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
I'll be
done. We both signed at the same time. It was in the paper, and it's in the book where, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Right, I know you.
Along with Pat, but Pat put it in the book with me and him, and I think Rodney Baker was standing with us. There was six of us. It was me and Pat, and it was Ronnie Baker from Satsumi. It was Mike McFarland from Davison, and it was Doc Richardson. And it was
Who was a catcher from Birmingham?
Now he come later.
Okay. All right.
They signed Ronnie Baker as a catcher.
Right.
And then later on in the summer after all five of us signed, then they signed Calvin Kirkland.
Yep. That was the name.
But Calvin played at Viper. And the other one was Joel Rutledge.
Golly, bum.
Yeah.
I won't forget that now, Jack. I won't forget that.
Of course, I started boxing. I never went. I signed, but I started fighting.
You started fighting.
I followed that money trail.
It didn't do you bad at all, Jack. I can tell you that.
But Pat was like me, played baseball and football.
Right.
And we both played like 6 years of football.
Golly, bum.
But Pat was a tremendous athlete. A lot of people don't know that.
No, they don't, but I'm going to tell you what a legacy he has made there at UMS Wright and everywhere he's been. I mean, he's just amazing.
He used to get mad at me, him and Kittrell, because they both batted left-handed, and neither one of them couldn't hit. Stevie hated me.
Hey, Jack,
we're on a hard break. You could hit my curveball.
No, I could not.
Because I was a left-handed pitcher.
No. Hey, we're on a hard break, but thank you for that, and always thank you for your service and everything that you've done for this area. I appreciate you, and think of you often, pal.
Thank you, Rick.
You take care.
Enjoy talking to you.
All right, pal. We'll be back in just a few right here on PSR.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Hi, welcome back to PSR. Listening to Charlie in here tell war stories is...
he's got some good ones this morning.
I'm telling you. It goes back to the roaring 20s, but he's got some good ones. I can tell you that right now. But Chocktahatchee's down there. This is a story. We're going to go play Chocktahatchee in football when we're at Northview. And we're pretty stinking good now. I mean, we got Lawrence Dawson, we got Roberts, and we got some pretty doggone good players. And so we go down there to play Chocktahatchee, and all of a sudden this big old chief rides out on his horse, and he takes that big old spear like they do, and they plant that spear. By the time first quarter was over, we're down 28 to nothing. We're still looking, we're worried about that spear coming out after us. Oh, boy.
Or that big joker getting off that horse.
Man alive, they were something.
Hey, Coach, I went to Escambia High School in Pensacola.
Right.
And I don't remember the football games, but their cheerleaders beat our cheerleaders every single time. And it was worth a road trip just to see halftime.
Oh, Charlie, I bet. Now you sound like Corey the Bounty talking about the halftime show last week between Southern and those guys playing. And
what great running back came out of Escambia?
Yeah, who was it?
The guy that went to Dallas.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. He's pretty good.
He was fair.
Yep, he's pretty doggone good. And there was a guy the other day that came on and said that there was a guy at Florida now that was as good, if not better. And they're talking, and one of the hosts said, you know, you're talking about a guy that's in the Hall of Fame and probably the one of the best running backs to ever play, and now there's a freshman at Florida that's as good as Emmitt Smith.
We'll see in about 8 or 9 years. Yeah, let's see. Make that time.
Hey, let's go around the SEC today, Mark, just to kind of get your ideas and thoughts on this, because I know if Corey were here, what Corey would say, easy walk today is Alabama hosts Louisiana at 11 o'clock kick, which Alabama doesn't have very many 11 o'clock kicks. But they play – it used to be Louisiana Lafayette.
Now it's just Louisiana.
It's just Louisiana. So – Louisiana plays at Alabama today. That should be a cakewalk, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go pull weeds in my flower bed.
Well, I don't have that problem, so I can assure you that. And I won't ever have that problem ever again. That's a promise and a promise.
There you go. So, I hear you, though. Actually, I'm probably going to watch Flomaton on TV.
Well, that's probably the best thing you can do. I'm sure Phil will be on call with you. This is an old Southwest Conference game that I'm kind of excited about today on ESPN. It's 11 o'clock kick as well, Arkansas and Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M obliterates them.
I think Texas A&M is pretty good. I think they're a lot better than people think they are.
And
Arkansas is not very good.
Not very good. Chad Morris is at a disadvantage. He's playing with Bleema's players.
He's playing with a big road grader offense, and he's got a – high power shotgun type offense, and it's just the mixture of people don't work.
And our buddy Jeremy Pruitt now, he's going over to see Kirby, and there's two guys that work together. And as a matter of fact, Kirby didn't keep him when Mark left and Kirby got the job. He didn't keep Jeremy, and I'm sure Jeremy's kind of
ain't gonna make any difference.
No,
the Tennessee's in a bad place right now. They've got some work to do.
Yep.
Jeremy's trying to straighten some things out. He asked a kid to leave the field in that last ball game.
Not so fast, my buddy.
That's what they said. Yeah, now, I read that the boy wouldn't go on the field, and Jeremy told him just to go on inside.
Jeremy told him that or another assistant coach?
I thought it was what I read was that Jeremy told him to go inside.
So I'm not sure about that. But
I could be wrong.
But that's straight now. The boy's back on the team.
Is he okay?
But they got to get that culture fixed.
There's some problems.
There's too much drama going on at Tennessee.
Jeremy will do it because I think he's pretty – he's pretty straightforward about the way he's going to do things.
No doubt about that. But Tennessee and Georgia, I'm like you. I think Georgia scores as many.
Georgia's really good.
Southern Miss comes to Auburn on the SEC Network, and that unfortunately for Charlie, if Auburn can find a running game, then I think
they're not going to have to find a running game today. Southern Miss has just not gotten back to where they want to be, And Auburn is struggling offensively. Yeah. I'm telling you something, Auburn's defense is pretty salty.
They are good.
They're pretty salty on defense. And if their offense can keep them off the field some, that's the big key for Auburn. Auburn's offense needs to stay on the field longer.
Yeah.
And let their defense catch their breath, because sometimes those things just get going. They end up three and out, and all of a sudden you're having to play a defense every snap of a whole quarter.
Yeah.
And it's hard to play in the fourth quarter when that happens.
Tennessee State's at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt should win that. I don't say easily, but I still think Vanderbilt wins that. Now, the big game, I think, there's two big games in my mind. And really, the last three games we're going to talk about are games that are huge as far as, well, first of all, traditional rivals. Florida and Mississippi State is a rival only because Dan Mullins is now the head coach at Florida and was, of course, in Starkville and did a phenomenal job in Starkville.
He did.
You can say what you want to. There's going to be some people that are going to stand up and they're going to boo him and do all of that.
He did a great job for that school.
He did. He did.
I'm telling you. He made that program – he made it – worthy of national discussions.
Right. They were number one in
the country.
That
was never, ever been there for I can remember.
Not me either. And remember, they were number one in the country
That's
at
right.
one point in time. Today, they're bringing Jackie Sherrill back. Jackie Sherrill is going to be honored today. I call him Suitcase Jackie.
He's something else now.
George Pugh, who played at Alabama, was tight end for them, played in Montgomery at in high school football in Montgomery, ended up signing at Alabama, played tight end in Alabama. He ended up coaching with Jackie Sherrill at Pittsburgh and probably several other places. But I used to love to listen to George as he told recruiting stories. Pretty interesting, to say the least. But Jackie Sherrill's coming back to start.
He's one of a kind. Jackie Sherrill, one of a kind.
He is one of a kind. But he's a great football coach. I mean, he did a tremendous job everywhere he was. But different day, different time, different culture, that's for sure. I really believe that Mississippi State will have their way with
Florida. I think they'll beat Florida.
I do, too.
I do, too. I think they will. I think they're better than Florida.
And then Will Muschamp goes to Lexington to play, you know.
I wouldn't want to go to Lexington with anybody. I'm telling you something. Them boys are playing football. Have you watched them on TV?
Yeah, they're pretty stinking good.
They fly around the ball. I mean, it's exciting to watch them play. I've always kind of liked Kentucky because I've always felt like they're the underdog.
Right.
Every time they go out and play.
Yeah.
And I always kind of pull for them, except, of course, when they play Alabama. I don't want them to beat Alabama. But I like to go out and watch. I like to watch them play, and they've been playing. And in the last couple of years, Stoops has got them playing.
He does.
You know, a little bit better each year, it seems like it. But he's always fighting that. There's, I don't know what it is, like there's a wall they get to.
It's called basketball.
And they run into it, and they can't get through it anymore. But well, hopefully this year they're going to be able to get through it. Have a really good season, make a good bowl game, and I think it'd be really great for
the
program.
The culture is basketball. I mean,
it is. There's no doubt. That's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's why Coach
That's
Bryant,
just like at Mississippi State, baseball has been the culture there
forever
and ever and ever.
That's right. And then a huge rivalry, the river that connects Ole Miss and Baton Rouge there. You're talking about some stories. I've heard stories from Ole Miss people in years gone by that – some of the tricks that they pull on each other when these two play. But Ole Miss is at LSU, and Ole Miss can flat score some points now.
They can't stop anybody.
No, they can't stop anybody. So.
LSU wins.
You think they win big, or is it?
No, I think it'll be relative because I think Ole Miss can score.
Right.
But you always got to remember, LSU's always got some pretty good people on defense.
Oh, no doubt. They're
always good on
defense.
So I don't know how that's going to match up. But those receivers in Mississippi State can hurt you in a hurry.
In a hurry.
So it just depends on what their offense. If their offensive line can hold them out a little bit and give that quarterback a little time to throw, they can hurt you. But I still think LSU probably two touchdown victory.
Well, that's an 8 o'clock kick in Tiger Stadium, and you know how that is. That's a bad place to be at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
There's a lot of strange juice be floating around during the afternoon in Baton Rouge.
Boy alive, that's a bad place to be at 8 o'clock.
Them folks love to party and love to play football.
Wow. So is there any doubt that – and then, let's look at one other. Penn State goes into Ohio State tonight, and in that game, of course, Urban Meyer makes his this season debut. He comes off of suspension, and that should be two good, really good quarterbacks in that game. And I just think the points will be – there'll just be an abundance of points in Penn State and Ohio State tonight.
I think so, too. I think Urban being back is going to help Ohio State. I think it'll give them a little bit more momentum. Where's that game played?
It's been in Ohio State.
So I think they're going to win the game. I think it'll be a close game. And I'm pulling for Penn State because I really like James Franklin.
Oh, I do, too.
I like the way that guy coaches.
Too.
And
I
so
do,
I'm,
too.
I'm pulling for Penn State, but I think Ohio State's probably going to win that game.
Well, I'm kind of like you on most of those. I don't think Will can take a team, and I'm really pulling for Will Muschamp to go into Kentucky and beat Kentucky, but I don't think it can happen. I just think they're too stinking good right now, too doggone good.
What do you think about this quarterback from Clemson, the story there?
Well, I think that it was handled brilliantly by Dabo Swinney. I thought he handled it with class, and I thought you're talking about Bryant. You're talking about the quarterback that has decided to leave, and Dabo could have played him one play in this next game, and he wouldn't have had a choice.
Right.
But he handled it with class and dignity, and I just thought that, I hope the quarterback ends up at Auburn. I do.
Well, I think next week when we got the time, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
It kind of bothers me.
Well, I understand that. That's it's a little bit different. A little bit different the way things are going now. All right, we'll be back. You don't want to miss this next story we've got on the Camp Gray segment. Garrett Humphrey, our director of security at UMS Wright. What a God-blessed story this is. We'll be back with more on Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Nash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. And I don't want to tell you how many years ago, because I would tell you the wrong, but I would say a couple of years ago, Doug Barber had the foresight to, and Dr. Tony Havard had the foresight to hire Garrett Humphrey to be our director of security at UMS Wright, and what a great decision that was. He has made a huge difference in our community and our school. Garrett and his wife have an amazing story to tell, and this morning on the Camp Grace segment, we would love to share that story with you from Garrett Humphreys. Garrett, good morning, and welcome to Prep Sports Report, pal.
Good morning, Coach, and thank you for having me on here and giving me this opportunity to speak to your audience.
Well, it's yours now, and we look forward to hearing it.
Okay, we have some amazing testimony about how good God is and how his timing works out better than ours. So about 5 years ago, right after my wife and I got married, we began to try to have children. That was something that God put on our hearts, that he wanted us to be parents. And we tried and tried, and it was just unsuccessful. So we went to go see some doctors because we wanted to find out what we could do to improve our chances. And, we learned previously that my wife had some intestinal issues, and it was making it difficult for her. And then I went to go get tested as well because I wanted to know, is it me as well? And doctors gave me some negative feedback. In fact, I'll just be honest with your audience, they said I was completely sterile, which was a huge shock for me. And we know as guys, that's kind of an ego buster right there, and it's hard to consider. But before we left that doctor's office that day, God gave us both a message, and he said that my plan was never for you to have a child but to save a child. And so we took that. And we had a peace when we walked out of there, even though it was a big disappointment that we found out that we wouldn't be able to have a child. We said, okay, then God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to handle that? And through just more than coincidences, these doors kept opening that led us to a faith-based fostering organization here in Mobile. Because we explored the opportunity of adoption, but adopting from an agency, although it's great and I highly encourage people to look into it, it is also expensive. And so that was kind of a deal breaker for us. We just didn't have the funds, and we were just kind of new starting out being married. And so we got into fostering with the intention to adopt. But the goal in the foster system, and it's a great goal, is always to reunify with the parents. And so we took in our first child, and we had him for nearly a year. And we grew attached to him, and we found a wonderful relationship. It took about six months to gain his trust. But in doing so, when he turned a corner, he turned into a beautiful child. And we got him involved in church and just grew so attached to him. And the only way I can relate when a child goes back to a family is it's great for the child, it's great for the family, but for the foster parents, it's like a death because you mourn for them, you miss them, you go up to their room, and they were there that morning. And when you come back up there that afternoon, the bed is the same way that they left it, but they're never coming back. And so it was really hard on us. We got attached several times. We've gone through four kids. We've got one now that we've had over a year. So we're continuing to do this ministry. But something unique happened a couple months ago. We had a foster parent that we're good friends with come forward and say, hey, I've got this mom. I'm fostering her kids, but she became pregnant again. And she said she knows that it's possible that DHR may take this child as well because she hadn't improved her situation. And is there anybody that you can think of that would be interested in adopting? So Tiffany, who is the person, the foster mom, she immediately thought of us. And so we got to know her and built a relationship with her. And we blessed her because she was providing a blessing for us. So on July 24th, we went to the hospital. We were there for the operation. And she gave birth to a beautiful boy. And God gave us a name long before we ever knew that we were having a boy, but he gave us a name, and it was Jeremiah. And it always went back to a scripture verse, for I know the things I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. And plans to give you a hope and a future. And so we just wanted to declare that over our child, that he was going to have a future just like God had prospered us and been so good to us. Well, we looked at this and we thought this was the reward. You know, this is what God has been. He's been so faithful to us because we've been obedient and faithful to him through fostering. And, you know, we were completely satisfied. We thought that's great. You know, we've got our son now. We're going to continue to foster because look what God has already done for us and blessed us with. So my wife was continuing to have some intestinal issues, and so she went to the doctor to find out what they could do to try to help alleviate some of this nausea. And she kind of got some, you know, vague, I guess, remarks about it that, you know, we don't know what it is. We're going to have to bring you for additional testing. So she was kind of upset about not getting any good news. So as she was making her way back to the car, the doctor chased her down in the parking lot, which is rare, and said, "Rachel, why don't we bring you back up to my office? Let's just do a pregnancy test, and let's just rule that out." She said, "Well, you don't know our story. You know, I'm 37. My husband's sterile. I've only got one ovary, and I have endometriosis, and we've been told it's not possible." So this is how good God is, because God works in the supernatural, not the natural. He goes above what science and man says can be possible. So she goes back up there. She does a pregnancy test. The doctor comes back in and says, "That's the bluest line I've ever seen." She said, "You know, it says that you're pregnant, but let's get an ultrasound in." So my wife calls me, and she calls me, and she's crying. And I'm just like, "Rachel, what's wrong? Are you okay?" And she said, I'm looking at a monitor right now, and on it, I see our baby, and I hear a heartbeat. Garrett, we're pregnant." And it just blew my mind. And all I could really do was pull over on the side of the road and get out, "Thank you, God," over and over again as I continued to cry, just kind of rejoice in that moment. And so we were so ecstatic about that. And the next morning, my wife is not a morning person, but she was awoken to a whisper. And I was already on the road doing something, so she called me, and I thought it was kind of strange at 6 o'clock. And she said, "Garrett, I was woken up, and I heard a whisper." I said, "What did you hear?" And she said, "I just heard one name." "Okay, what's that?" She said, "Josiah." I said, "Do you think that's God giving us a name for the child?" And she said, "I really do, but I don't know what it means. I know it's in the Bible. I'm going to look it up." She calls me back 10 minutes later, and she said, "You'll never believe this." I said, "What does it mean?" She said, "Well, God has healed." And it was just one of those moments for us where it's just, you know, God sees what you're doing. He rewards those that are patient. And although, you know, our timing doesn't coincide with his timing works out so much better. Just be faithful and obedient, not give up. And so our church put this testimony that we did on Facebook. We don't do social media, but we said, right, yeah, if it blesses anybody, we'd be ecstatic to have that. And so our church posted it online, and it's went viral. We just, at last check with a friend, they said it's been seen over 1.3 million times. That's amazing. And it's been shared over 50,000 times.
Wow.
And Garrett, God is just spreading this message of hope, and he's reconnecting with people through our testimony. So we're just so humbled to be a part of that.
Well, Garrett, that's God. That is just a godsend, and there's nothing that I can say that I mean, first time you told me, you shared it with me, and I appreciated you sharing that with me. And then when I saw the, I was lost. I was just lost in faith and everything I could be. But I'm so excited for you and Rachel, and I'm just thank you for sharing that with our audience. And we look forward to hearing more and more about that as we go forward. God bless you, pal.
Thank you. God bless. Guys.
Take care, Garrett Humphrey. More for that, isn't that something? That's amazing.
What a story. It'll touch your heart.
Hey, thank you for being a part of our show this morning. Hope your favorite team wins today. Remember this: no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time next week.